Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen, amen, amen. So again, you're going to see him around, but if you don't see him as much as you were before, it's because he is doing that. And I'm trying to figure out my iPad here. Oh, there it is. Perfect. How many of you guys know that digital devices are great when they actually work right? We had an issue this week, and I was just like, you know, this is such a great invention until it doesn't work. Amen. Hey, grab your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 4. As you're turning to Mark chapter 4, I'm going to set up a little bit of what we've been doing here at Canvas Church and where we're headed and what we're going to do today. Mark chapter 4, go to find yourself in verse 35. We started a series entitled Rooted, and this is more than just a sermon series on a Sunday morning. This is really become an experience here at our church as the small groups are going through it. As a matter of fact, if you were involved in a Rooted small group, just shoot your hand in the air. Come on, that's awesome. Fantastic. And again, it's not too late. If you want to jump in, normally you can jump into a small group at any time as we're going. But because of the material and because of what we're doing as a church, if you're new to the church and you're still checking us out, check us out for a couple more weeks if you're not ready to jump into a small group. That's fine. And as Rooted wraps up, we'll launch our next round of small groups. But man, if you are like ready to jump in, I would encourage you to do it this week. As we dive into this incredible experience that we're in. And so we started this, and here's the thing. A lot of times when you hear the word rooted, and if you've been in church for a while, it's talking about getting rooted into the church. Now, there's value in that, and I think you should be planted in a church and rooted in a church. But that's not what this series is about. This series is about being rooted in Christ Jesus. Getting back. Here's what we're doing. Let me read it to you. It's in your notes. We're going back to the basic rhythms of discipleship or what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing. We're going back to that. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And so on Sundays, you might hear a little variation of that. But really, as we dive in over this next 9 weeks now, through our whole experience, that's what we're doing. We're going after this idea of what it is to know him and to know him deeper. And what I guess here's the whole thing. It says this in John 15, verse 5. It says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's you, that's his followers. And so Jesus is the vine. We as followers are being grafted into that. We're the branches. And it says, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What is he talking about? He's talking about being a disciple, being rooted in, being grafted in. As a matter of fact, in that passage, the idea there is a graft that, and throughout John 15, that, man, you are apart from him, but when you come in, you're grafted into him. And that word grafted is so intense when you actually think about it. I think a lot of times when we think about becoming a Christian, we think we just plugged into Jesus. We just plugged into God. There is a big difference between plugged in and grafted in. When you're plugged in, how many guys plugged a vacuum cleaner in? You were vacuuming your house, and then all of a sudden you went too far. How many of you guys actually vacuum your house? Okay, let's start there. Some of you might have a Roomba that just does it for you, right? And you've been vacuuming, all of a sudden, boom, you pull it out, and it stops working, right? You ever had that happen before? My wife and I were here cleaning the facilities on Friday and actually just having a great time. We were here for 3.5 hours and we said, hey, let's get our workout in, let's get our prayer time in, and let's clean the facilities. Come on, somebody. And we were having such, and I was vacuuming and all of a sudden I went too far and that happened. It unplugged and had to go back and plug it in. We're not plugged into Jesus. We are grafted into Jesus. And that word grafted is completely different because when you're grafted into something, the tissues begin to fuse together. To where you can't even tell that where it starts and where it ends. And that's the whole point of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, that Christ is in you so much that when people see you, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And so that's what we're doing. We're talking about getting back to that place, being grafted in. And so it begs this question this morning, this is where we're going, is do you really know who he is? Do you really know the one you're grafted into? Do you really know what he's capable of? Do you really know him? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Let me pause right there. What's taking place? Here's the scene. Jesus has just been ministering to the masses, and he's been speaking to the masses in parables. That's what he does. What is a parable? It's a story that teaches an idea, okay? And so Jesus has been meeting with the masses. The disciples have been alongside and helping minister along with him. And Jesus would tell the masses these parables, teaching them a principle. But right before we get to what I just read you, the Bible says this, that Jesus got alone with his disciples, and when he was with his disciples, he would openly explain all things to them. And so here's what's taking place. He had just ministered to the masses, teaching them a principle. He's now God alone with his disciples. They just had this intimate leadership time, if you will. And Jesus is opening up himself and what he just taught more clearly and more plainly to his disciples. Now, somewhere in the context of this leadership meeting he's happening with his disciples, something sparks in Jesus that says, I need to take them a little bit deeper. I need to take them a little bit deeper. And I believe he's taking Canvas Church a little bit deeper. And so as evening came, the Bible says, he was teaching them. And he says, you know what, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So the Bible says, verse 36, they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. This translation says, although other boats followed. Many boats, but only one has Jesus in it. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boats, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Teacher! Don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. I don't know about you, but I think this might be one of my favorite stories in the Bible. There was a great calm. It wasn't just that the rain stopped. It wasn't just that the wind stopped. It was more calm than it's ever been. Jesus spoke, and it was more calm than it had ever been. It's a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Did you catch that? Jesus is teaching the multitudes. He's called his disciples alongside of him. They've seen miracles. They've seen signs and wonders. They've seen the multitudes draw to him as he taught them in parables. And then he would sit alone and have some leadership moments with them. And in this particular setting, in this particular leadership moment, he said, you know what? I don't think they're quite getting it. I can see in their eyes, they don't quite understand who I am. So we're going to go on a little journey. And he takes them in the boat. They hit this great storm, and there's many boats there, come on, but only one of them has Jesus in it. And it was them that went and woke Jesus up, but listen to what they said to Jesus. They didn't say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, Son of the living God, could you calm the storm? They woke up Jesus like, hey, yo, dude, don't you care that we're all about to die? Are you following the text? Jesus just gets up and Jesus does what Jesus does when he's in your boat. Come on, somebody. He speaks to the wind and the waves, and a great calm comes. And here we see in the text that they really don't know who he is. They were terrified. Now listen to what they said. They didn't say, who is this teacher? Who is this great prophet? They just simply said, who is this man? That even the wind and the waves obey him. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about who is this. Or if you're a little more gangster, who dis? Come on, somebody. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that God, you would just speak to us. God, that you would take this text, you'd make it come alive, and God, we would walk out of here knowing you better. God, we would walk out of here knowing the one that the word says we need to be grafted into. We would know you not just theologically, but we would know you intimately. God, we would know you personally. God, I pray you'd help me now in this place. Create a moment for people to discover you, know your love, and realize the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Who is this? Who is this? Have you ever known somebody for a little while, and then after knowing them for a while, all of a sudden they do something, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know they were capable of that. Anybody? Maybe you're married to them? Come on, somebody. And it's more like, I didn't know they were capable of that. But you know, you've been in that moment where like you have a relationship with somebody and it's like, man, they're cool and whatnot. And all of a sudden they do something that just blows your mind, right? I had this happen to me about a year ago, maybe a little less. The college students and our E4 Bible College have just stepped up and have been just crushing it. And that means good. Have been crushing it with the youth ministry. And man, young people are coming in and they're loving on these young people. They're ministering to these young people. And sometime last year, they had a worship night. And my oldest daughter, Cara, was tasked with the responsibility to kind of emcee the night and have like a word. And then they would go back into this worship. And because we're a little thin on ministry team, thank you, COVID, because we're a little thin on ministry team, they didn't have someone to run some stuff, and so my wife and I were like, "Hey, well, we'll come. We'll run the lights and we'll run the words and stuff. Not a problem." And so we were sitting back there, my wife and I, and we were running. So I know I get you. I understand you, tech team. I know what it's like sometimes when things don't go right and everybody turns around and looks at you. I get it. Right? I've been there, done that. And we're sitting back there, we're running it, and the worship is going, and I was kind of doing something with the lights, and all of a sudden I heard this voice begin to speak, and I was like, whoa, like, what is that? That's amazing. I look up, and there's my daughter up there. And all of a sudden she just starts to share, and I literally am like, I literally stop everything, and I sit back, and I looked at my wife, and I said, who is that up there? And I look over, my wife is crying, and she's got her camera out, and she's videotaping it, right? Come on. How many parents do I have out there, right? So I'm like, well, I should probably do that too. So I get mine out, and I start recording it as well. See, look at me. I'm a good dad too. And I started crying, but I remember sitting there just like absolutely blown away, because up until that moment, she was my daughter. She was just Cara. That's my daughter. Yeah, of course she's incredible. She's my daughter. But in that moment, God showed me that she wasn't just my daughter. In that moment, God showed me that she's a prophetic, powerful leader in the kingdom of God. And I was completely, you can ask, I mean, I probably showed that video to tons of people. My wife and I still talk about to this day that was the moment where she was no longer just, hey, that's Cara Rose, my daughter. I was like, no, she's a leader and a prophetic leader in the kingdom of God. My mind was blown. You ever had that experience before? This is one of those experiences for the disciples. I don't fully grasp it. I don't fully understand it. But then I have the ability to read before, during, and after. Thank you, Bible, right? Like, I can read it, and I can look at them. Like, how many of you guys read the Bible sometime and like, oh, you're so pathetic? Come on, are you with me? Like, you read about somebody in the Bible, like, come on, don't you know that Jesus is going to show up in the New Testament? Like, I mean, what's wrong with you? Why are you guys crying? Why are you guys so pathetic? Right? Like, come on, Moses. Like, you're standing at the Red Sea, pick up the staff, yell at it, the water's gonna part, don't you know this? You know? Like Daniel in the lion's den, why are you freaking out, bro? Have you not? Oh, that's right, because it was real time to them. Are you with me? I'm pretty sure that there's a whole bunch of angels in heaven and God himself sometime looking down at us being like, why are you freaking out? Like, don't you know that I win? Come on, somebody, right? And so we have the privilege, but here's the thing, the disciples, man, they've seen Jesus do some miracles. They've heard him teach these stories. I mean, come on, why are thousands of people coming out to hear Jesus speak? And so there's this wow factor to what's taking place, but even in that, they still don't fully grasp and understand who he is. But Jesus is so loving and so good and so compassionate and so kind and so on mission that he will literally take moments to slip away with the disciples just to show them another side of himself. Just to blow their mind once again, to remind them, hey, I'm more than just a teacher. I'm more than just this prophetic guy. I'm more than just this theological thing. Are you with me today? He wanted to show them that I'm so much more than that. And so he slips away, and here it is, and they see it, and they're so perplexed, like, wow, who is this? Listen to me, if you've never experienced Jesus in the middle of your storm, I still have hope for you. If you've never experienced Jesus in the middle of your mess, I still have hope for you. Because listen to me, just like them, we can come and we can sit in a leadership moment on a Sunday morning. And we can hear the pastor share all about Jesus and all about God and all about the Holy Spirit from the text. But until you walk through some stuff in life, until you face some storms, anybody ever faced a storm in here? Now, I'm not talking about a thunder and a lightning storm. I'm talking about some relational stuff. I'm talking about some financial stuff. I'm talking about some health stuff. I'm talking about some marriage. Come on, somebody. Until you've walked through some of those moments, I think that maybe Jesus was a good teaching principle. But until you walk through some moments and you realize, man, he is more. Are you with me? We need to know him more than just theologically. And if the last 18 months ain't done that for you yet, I still have hope for you. Who is this? I'm telling you, there's going to come moments in your life. And it's my prayer when those moments come that you know him more than just as a good teacher. I hope you know him as the healer. I hope you know him as the restorer. Hope you know him as the provider. A couple of things I just want us to notice from this passage before we move on. And it's this. The first one is, just because there are storms in life doesn't mean Jesus has left you. Just because you're facing something difficult in your life doesn't mean that Jesus left you. I mean, the Bible tells us, and although you might make your bed in the pit of hell, Jesus is still there. Why you'd make your bed in the pit of hell, I have no idea. But if you do, guess what? Jesus is still there. He's still there. Just because you're going through a little rocky season in your marriage doesn't mean Jesus left you. Just because you're dealing with some financial hardship right now doesn't mean Jesus left you. Listen, he's the God of the mountaintop. He's the God of the valley. And he's the God of everything in between. Just because you're facing some health challenges in your life doesn't mean he's not a healer. And let me tell you this, just because he didn't heal you doesn't mean he's not a healer. Just because we face some storms in life, anybody ever face those storms, right? Just because we face some storms in life doesn't mean Jesus has left you. He's there. And listen, I love the text because the text shows us that there were many boats. There were many boats crossing over. They were following. Hey, where's he going? Let's follow and let's find out. There might be many ways to get through this life. Most of them, though, you're just coping. Only one has Jesus in it. Only one boat had Jesus. And at least the disciples knew enough to be like, hey, we need an extra hand bailing the water out of the boat. And Jesus is like, no, I'm so much more than that. I'm so much more than that. No matter what storm you're facing, I want you to know something this morning. Jesus is still there. He hasn't left you. Someone needs to hear that today. Just because you're facing some really difficult stuff, Jesus hasn't left you. Just because he hasn't healed you yet, doesn't mean he can't. Just because you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, doesn't mean he's not the God of the breakthrough. Listen to what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. Come on. He will be with you. He's God. He can do that. He can go ahead of you and be with you at the same time. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Somebody need to hear that verse right now. Don't be afraid. You don't need to walk in fear. You don't need to be discouraged. I had some moments this week in my life. This section I'm sharing with you didn't come about until Thursday evening. I usually try to have my message wrapped up and all neatly packaged by Thursday so that I'm not getting hounded by the rest of the team, like, where are your notes, where are your notes, where are your notes? So they'll be there when they get there. And Thursday, man, God was working on me. Because if I'll be honest with you, I had some fear. I was a little bit discouraged. And so God was working on me. Because every time I'm studying for a message, I'm not stuttering for a message, I'm studying for my life. And so I was walking through this moment this week where I'm like, oh man, how's that going to work out? How many of you guys are like me in that when it doesn't look like things are going to work out, you try to take things into your own hands? I got 6 honest people. Okay. The rest of you are liars. It's natural inclination for most of humanity to be like, oh, right? And I was there. And then I started moving into some moments of discouragement. And so I did what I knew to do. I reached out to my board, and I said, hey, guys, here's some things I'm looking at dealing with. Like, literally within hours, man, verses, texts, all this stuff. And I felt encouraged. And then the Holy Spirit led me to this idea. Hey, Ben, just because you're going through a storm doesn't mean I've left you. Right? Just because you're walking through something, know this, you don't need to walk in fear. You don't need to be discouraged. Just hold tight. Are you with me? He's going to go ahead of you, and he's going to be with you. He'll never fail you nor abandon you. Amen. You might even get angry at God. Anybody ever been angry at God before? You might even be angry at God. And here's what I need you to know. He's okay with that. Disciples, Jesus, what's wrong with you? Don't you care? We're about to die. We're about to die. Did you read the same text? These same disciples are the same ones that watched him do miracles, that watched him teach the masses, that he's been, you know, wowing and awing them, and now they're angry. Because he's not just asleep. The Bible says he's asleep on cushion. That's what the Bible says. That's the first pillow fight probably right there. Jesus, do you care? What's wrong with you? We're dying over here. You ever felt that way before? Seriously, Jesus, do you not care? I mean, like, where are you at? Don't you care? And I love the compassionate Jesus. He doesn't get up and grab the pillow and hit him back. Come on, somebody. He just gets up, looks at him, and speaks to the problem. Speaks to the issue. Which shows me, number 2, no matter how close you get to Jesus, you can always know him more. No matter how close you get to Jesus, you can always know him more. Because here they are. They took him along in the boat. He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. Good companion. Wows the masses. This is great. But all of a sudden now they know him as the one who can calm the storms in life. No matter how much you know him, look, I've been a Christian for 41 years. Yeah. And I'm telling you, he's still blowing my mind today. Like, blowing my mind. You can ask the staff. One of the first things I thank God for every single staff meeting on Monday, the very first words of my life, God, thank you so much for who you are. And God, thank you for the miracle that we're sitting in, this property, this facility. Because if you were here back then, you'd be like, he is a God of miracles. When we left that theater to walk into this, you know how many of my leadership team actually contacted me after we got in? And they were just honest. There's about six or seven of them. They were like, hey, man, I just want to be honest with you. I'm like, that's a good thing. What? Like, when you said we're going to go buy a property when we're in that theater, I thought, he is absolutely crazy. And I just looked at him and said, I am. Because I didn't think it was going to happen either. No matter how close you get to Jesus, you can always know him more. These disciples were close. And they still sat back and said, who is this? The crazy thing about the story, though, is this. Is if you read on and it gets to Mark chapter, this is what I just read you to the close of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 5, the Bible says they get out of the boat. And when they get out of the boat, they're immediately met by a man that is full of demons. It's a crazy story. And all of a sudden, this demonized man comes to him, and this is what he's crying out. He's crying out, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Here's the followers of Jesus in the boat saying, who's this? They get immediately to the other side, and it takes a man full of demons to display to these people who he really is. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And the story's so crazy because Jesus rebukes the demons, frees the man, and they immediately get back in the boat and head back over. They don't even hang out over there. Read it. It's amazing. Almost like the whole point of the last part of Mark chapter 4 was, I'm just going to show you who I am. I'm just going to display to you that I can do anything, that I have command and control over. And listen, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not. Man, they are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Listen, the worst thing you can do when you're going through the middle of something is try and figure it out. Just stop and be like, okay, I'm going to try to figure this thing out. God, I'm going to try. How are you going to come through? No, no, no. Don't worry about any of that. Just hold on for the ride and watch the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords come through time and time and time again. He does it over and over. Listen, man, I don't understand the last 18 months. I don't know what's going on in the church world or outside of the church world. Man, people are getting repositioned and moved over here. We got new people coming in that maybe left another church. I don't know what God's doing in the big, big church. All I know is I'm holding on for a great ride. I'm just going to keep trusting him, keep believing in him, keep hoping in him, and just saying, God, even though we walk through some stuff, I know you haven't left me. Are you with me today? He hasn't left you. And listen to me. Just because you've been with him for a while, been with him for 41 years, doesn't mean there's always more you can know about him. Lastly, number three, someone needs to hear this one. Jesus is not afraid of hard questions. Jesus is not afraid of hard questions. Jesus was not offended at his disciples when they said, who is this? Matter of fact, I mean, I don't know this to be true, but in my image of Jesus from Scripture, he was probably chuckling inside. Like, ha ha. I showed him another part of me. He's not offended. He's not intimidated by the hard questions. He's not intimidated by the fact you don't get it all and that you're a little ticked off at God right now and him. And he's not offended. He's not afraid of it. As a matter of fact, Jesus welcomes the questions. He welcomes them. As a matter of fact, growing in your spiritual journey, when this right here is your platform, the Word of God is your platform, he welcomes questions. Because one thing I know about him is he's going to show up and show himself faithful and meet you where you're at. Here's the thing, though. I know that sometimes he'll let you wrestle through it a little bit sometimes. That's for the hard-headed people. Just let you wrestle through it a little more. Oh, you still don't get it? All right. Let's get in the boat. I mean, remember this. It wasn't the disciples' idea to get in the boat and go across. It was Jesus's. Fully aware that a storm was coming because he's God incarnate in the flesh. And he knows everything. This could be another point. There is no storm in life that he is not aware of. And so he welcomes these difficult questions, not afraid of them. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Different story. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. What is so profound about Caesarea Philippi? The backdrop of Caesarea Philippi is really where pantheism begins. It's the belief in many gods. Okay, this is where the god of Pan existed. And so in Caesarea Philippi, here's what you would have. You would have this cliff or this mountain, and inside this cliff or this mountain were all of these little mini shelves carved out, and each one would house a god on it, okay? So this is the backdrop. This is, so they walk into Caesarea Philippi, the pantheism, it's there. It just every part of this cliff is filled with a different god that they would come and worship. Check this out. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Can you just imagine Jesus walking in with his disciples, looking at this cliff with all these gods, and in that backdrop he says, hey, there's a lot of gods right here. But who do you say that I am? You can do this or you can do this. It says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now listen, he's welcoming the hard questions. Are you with me this morning? Who do you say that? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Here it is. Jesus welcomes the hard questions. Listen to me, in the midst of our culture, in the midst where there are many boats, come on somebody, there are many ways to cross over, many ideas, many concepts. Listen, people are even taking the word and twisting it and restructuring it and adding other things to it. Listen, there's a lot of things you can follow, but here's the thing you need to understand. You need to understand who Jesus is. You need to understand the one you're grafted into. And it's got to be revealed to you through Scripture and through God himself. And as you get there and as you get in the boat, the one that has Jesus in it, I'm telling you, he's going to take you to the other side. But listen, don't be afraid to ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Jesus welcomes the questions. Because reality is the backdrop of our culture is probably no different than the backdrop of Caesarea Philippi. There's lots of things you could worship, lots of things you could do, lots of ideas, lots of coping mechanisms, lots of little things. But there's only one, Jesus, that's going to get you through. You with me today? So he says, who is this? Worship team, you could come. Who is this? Who am I? And obviously this morning, we could take hours and go through verses that say Jesus is this. He's the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is this. He's the Son of God. He's the bread of life. He's the great I am. He's the vine. We're the branch. We could go through verse after verse after verse. But here's the journey I'm inviting you into. I'm inviting you into this journey so that you can take the principles of this word as we go through rooted, and that you can discover, like the disciples did, in the midst of whatever storm you're walking through, that you can discover who he is all over again to you. Because here's the reality. Some of you today need Jesus as the healer. Some of you today need Jesus as the miracle worker. Some of you need Jesus as the one that can give you direction and answer. Some of you need Jesus as the one that will come and mend your marriage. Some of you need Jesus, but here's the thing, man. Jesus will show up and meet you where you're at no matter what your storm looks like. Jesus showed up in with the disciples in the midst of a storm. What did he do? He calmed the wind and the waves. Why? Because that was the storm. But he can come and calm the unrest that's in your marriage. Maybe that's the storm. He can come and calm the storm in your finances. Maybe that's the storm. He can come and calm the storm in your health. Maybe that's the storm you're facing. He shows up and he meets us where we're at. So there's so many things I could say, but I was brought back to the prophetic word that was spoken about Jesus' ministry. In Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 2, I think we can pull it up on the screens if we have it. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2. This is prophetically speaking of who Jesus would be when he arrived on the earth. And it says this, "And the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." This is prophetically speaking of Jesus. "For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Ultimately, the good news, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that Jesus would come and save the world from their sins and rescue them. It's a great message. But the good news doesn't stop there. The good news doesn't stop at salvation. The good news continues on. The good news is that he's not going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be with you no matter where you go. The good news is he can heal you. The good news is he can restore you. The good news is he can redeem your son, your daughter. The good news is, man, no matter what life throws at you, man, he's going to be there. This is good news. What good news do you need to hear today? It comes in Jesus. He's bringing good news to the poor. Listen to this next one. Someone needs to hear this today. He has sent Jesus to comfort the broken hearted. What's your heartbreak today? What's going on in your life? What has broken your heart? What has devastated your world? What has literally rocked your world so much that you don't think you can move beyond this point and this moment? Guess what? The Bible says that he's here for you and he wants to comfort you right now. He wants to comfort you right now in your time of need. Wants to comfort you right now in your time of brokenheartedness. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. He's bringing good news. He's comforting your broken heart. Someone needs to hear that today. He's comforting your broken heart. Listen, everyone's devastation could look different. Everyone's broken heart could look different. But the same God shows up and meets you where you're at. It's comforting. He's comforting. Just with every eye closed in this moment, I'm going to read on, but before I read on, you're here. And just close your eyes for a moment. You know who you are. You'd say, man, I need the comforter today. Could you just shoot your hand in the air? I need the comforter today. My hand's up. I need the comforter today. I need the comforter today. I didn't realize that would be that devastating. No, I need the comforter today. I didn't know that my heart would break like that. I need the comforter today. I didn't know this would rock my world like that. I need the comforter today. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. And you don't have to fear. You don't have to be discouraged. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's got you. He's the comforter. He's the comforter today. So Lord, I pray for every hand that's raised right now. Would you comfort their broken heart? Check this next part out. And to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Huh. He's bringing freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He is God. He's the way, he's the truth, the life. He's the anchor of your soul. He's the healer of your bodies. He's the one who sets you free. He's the one who delivers you. He's God in the good, he's God in the bad. He's God all the time. He can't stop being who he is. And he's there for you today. So much so that the last part says, he has sent me to tell all those who mourn, come on, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The time of the Lord's favor has come. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Favor is coming. Come on, come on. Freedom is coming. Healing is coming. Deliverance is coming. Hope is coming. The answer is coming. Do me a favor, just stand to your feet right now. Lord, we thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are. Jesus, we thank you that today as we walk into this place, God, we know who you are to a certain level, to a certain degree, to a certain place. But I pray, God, that you would do something so extraordinary in our life that we would be like the disciples today and step back and on and say, who is this? Who is this? The one that just took this impossible circumstance and turned it around. Who is it that took this broken relationship and mended it? Who is it that took this financial debt, this decrease, and all of a sudden brought increase? Who is this that took what the doctors said was impossible and did the very impossible? God, I pray, Lord God, that you would come and you would show yourself faithful today to all of us in this place. God, no matter what our storm looks like, God, no matter what our circumstance looks like, God, no matter what we're facing and what we're dealing with, God, I pray that you would blow our minds once again and show us who you are in the midst of our storm. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, amen, amen. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, I'm going to have some of the small group leaders, some of the pastors come on up. And if you need prayer for anything, we'd love to be here with you and pray for you and pray through whatever storm you're walking through. If you haven't yet got involved in a Rooted small group, man, stop back there, grab a book, get signed up. God bless. We're going to be back here next week and continue our series. Have an amazing week. See you at small group if you're there.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.